All right. Let's bring this week home on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is the Leaf Hour edition on this Friday. Nick Kyprios. Justin Bourne.
Hello.
Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and just Jake Schultz. Just Jake.
No, didn't get a nickname today?
No nickname today.
I've been just really impressed with him recently, so we're dropping the serpent for now.
We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. We go large on the Toronto Maple Leafs in this hour, and then the top of the hour, we'll welcome in Doug McLean for a little off the rails, and also Jason Bukala will join us to put a big ribbon on this week.
Beautiful.
So, just not Friday, Friday the 13th.
Oh, it is, yeah. Right.
Are you guys like those type of guys to go a little slower today, or?
No.
It is funny you mention this because, as you guys both know, I am very jinx wary.
Yes.
Extremely.
You'll go home the same way.
Yeah, I'm very, like, when it comes to sports, I'm very, like, I respect the hockey gods deeply. Deeply, deeply, deeply. Yeah. And I don't know if you want to get into this right away, but I feel like I should address it because I've been getting barbecued on all social medias because of this. But I said this about Anthony Stolarz, I think, on Wednesday's show, and this talking about Friday the 13th.
So it's all you.
Listen, just listen.
Are you superstitious?
Listen to this clip. Listen to this clip. Paying him $2.5 million? Like, I think they've already got their money's worth.
Yeah, if he never plays
again. If he stopped playing tomorrow, which I hope he doesn't, the contract was worth it. Yeah. They got 9 wins out of him already.
Oh, my God. Are you nuts? Are you nuts?
I honestly, like, I'm so sorry, hockey gods. It's my fault. I will never, like, everybody tweeting me being like, it's your fault. I agree. Totally my fault. I'm sick. Favorite Leaf of the year, my favorite story of the year. I go out there, I start talking like that. I'm getting too confident, and they smite me.
We were talking about him being up with Bill Barilko and Tim Horton up in the rafters in Legends Row.
The pitchers with his name up on the rafters was the...
That's what did it.
The nail.
Yeah. Text whoever one of your friends made that. They did it.
As mentioned, Anthony Stoller's injury kind of overshadows a win. Max Pacioretty had a big night. I'm not sure that we'll get to it in the next hour based on watching Anthony Stoller's go down last night. And not one of those where right away we're all sitting there going, oh, that was bad. That one kind of just snuck up on us a little bit.
But those are the worst, right?
Are they?
Well, I think it's better when you see some sort of impact and you go, oh, that's where it happened. You tweak this. But when something just kind of goes, something just kind of quits on a guy, I think that's a little bit more scary. Although it sounds like, Kip, and yeah, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you're maybe not as concerned today as we were initially.
Why don't we go to... Sure. Head coach Craig Berube, who spoke on Anthony Stolarz today, and we'll start with his update first.
What's your goaltender and his status?
Good. Well, I thought we got good news on him. Day to day right now. Obviously, he didn't go on the ice today, but you know, we'll see tomorrow if he can get out there.
Do you expect him back next week? Sorry.
What's that?
Do you expect him back next week?
Stolarz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, but, you know, in saying that, like, again, he's got to get on the ice and, you know, it was good news overall. So let's just leave it at that. It's right now, it's day to day.
Oh, we were fine up until he gave us the dreaded day to day.
Day to day. Day to day. Today's not the day. Tomorrow's probably not the day either, but it'll be a day.
It is a day.
Don't read into anything like that.
It's a day that's...
Could be this day. Could be a lot of days from now.
Is it the Austin Matthews 3.5 weeks day to day?
Is it the Jake McCabe 5 games day to day?
That's not for today.
this is the exact problem in saying that guys don't have issues with, like, their injuries or not being forthcoming with their injuries. Because every single person, as soon as another guy gets hurt, and you say it's not serious and it's day to day, I don't believe you. Yeah. It's not right. I don't believe you. I don't have any trust in you. I don't think there's any way that it's actually day to day. I truly believe that you're going to see him in February. Like, I don't trust in the organization being forthright about any of this now.
Yeah.
They've lost me. So this update does not make me feel any better about it. Does not change my perspective at all.
Here's the good news so far with all the injuries for the most part. I'm not talking about every guy, and there's Kampf who's been out for quite a while, and then Yarncroc. They never told us day-to-day with him. Did they? Did they start out day-to-day with him?
No. The day-to-day guys were Matthews.
Okay.
And Matthews and...
But they have recently avoided the... He's going to be out a while or week to week. So I do believe that they believe that we don't know if it's going to be 2 days or 21 days.
Right.
So far. Mm. Which, I'm sorry, I can't go on your side in terms of... You know, they're lying.
Yeah, they don't know.
They just don't know.
Okay.
The one thing that we did the game last night, and the one thing that needs to kind of be stressed here is that this guy has got some knee injury issues.
That knee. Right knee.
Both knees.
Both knees.
Both knees.
That's too many.
But one probably a little bit more. He's had multiple surgeries. It got to the point where he lost a year.
Remember the Valley story? Yeah. How much smaller the one leg was than the other and all that stuff? Yeah.
It's been an ongoing challenge for him. His whole career are his knees. I think what happened last night is that he felt something and he may have gotten spooked a little bit.
Yeah.
And he just... cautionary reasons, took himself out of the lineup.
Great call.
Please, God, let you be right about that.
Yeah.
He then goes, gets some further testing either last night or this morning, today. They come back. They say,
fine.
Structurally, you're fine. So.
And then, like Mike Modano, they dropped the stretcher he was on and his knee snapped.
Oh, that's one of the best clips all time.
It is.
Poor Mike. Let it settle. Take a couple of days off. Don't think we'll see him this weekend. You should be fine.
Okay.
That's how I read the tea leaves today.
Okay. But.
Okay.
But.
But he is a guy who has had knee issues.
Okay, now we're getting to big picture stuff.
We are.
Okay.
He is a guy who's had knee issues, and he felt a little some discomfort in a knee the first time that they said, let's go back-to-back here with him and see what he's got, if he can be the guy. So does it change how you feel about him? And what had become the goaltending situation was it felt like his net as 1A with Wohl as 1B.
To answer your question, yes, I do feel differently. I'm not going to pull a Sam McKee or a Don Cherry and need to go back to the tape of what I said the other day. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in some way, shape, or form, besides the scheduling, look at where you want him and Wohl to fall into games started over the weekend. It was a chance to have a bit of a test here for him. And unfortunately, he did not pass the test, which in and itself can tell you how you want to move with him moving forward.
Yeah.
I think based on this, I don't know if you can ever envision Stolarz being a guy that can play every other night for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Six to eight weeks to win a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Like, to think that he could take that type of...
25 games, 8 weeks of starts.
Taxing every other day on his bad knees. Mm-hmm. Is not that realistic. So
I didn't feel like that 2 days ago, did we?
No, I kind of felt like maybe he was building towards something that he could look like a true number one guy. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a guy that could play every other night for a month and a half.
And he did that for the start of the season, right? In October, he did. Like, I mean,
did he ever? The one thing that bothered me, and I know you guys felt the same way, is that we didn't look at Tuesday night.
It's seven starts in October. So, I mean, that's a starter's workload over a month, right? And he's really good.
It is. But the one thing that stood out for us and why the three of us collectively agreed that it's interesting that they didn't go to Wall.
I wanted them to go to Stars. That was my whole thing.
Was the night that he had in New Jersey. That was just not a normal game. It had to have been, I don't want to speak for the man, but that must have been the most taxing night of his career.
Yeah, 38 saves. Like,
can you imagine he said, no, I've been battles. Busier or, you know, I've had busier or tougher nights than that night?
Yeah.
So to go back to him with one day's rest was rather surprising. And maybe it was to see if he could handle it.
Yeah, you've said that, and I think that's given them a lot of credit. You know, like, I don't know that that's... To me, it feels like goalie good, goalie go in. Not like, hey, let's see what we got here. And maybe it was. Maybe they deserve the credit there of that they're...
I don't think I'm giving him credit. I'm just saying that if... It might have just been an... Okay, that's another reason why to start him.
Yeah.
Besides that, we don't want Wall to play 2 out of 3 on the weekend.
Between December 2nd and December 23rd, that's 22 nights. The Leafs have 12 games. 12 games in 22 nights. That's a ton of hockey. Yeah. We've talked about these guys' workload, and I think on this show yesterday, I just said, Wall's playing very well. I just, you know, why not just, they're both going to play a ton. Let's just alternate, go back and forth, whatever. I didn't say that because I thought Stolarz would get hurt. I just, you know, like, so it's not revisionist history, as you and JD called us last night. Mm-hmm. It's not at all revisionist history because I said it before the game happened that it should have been an alternating schedule. I don't think because he played, that's why he got injured. I don't know that if Wall had gone in, he wouldn't have got injured. Or if Wall had gone in, he played bad.
The chances of Stolarz getting hurt more than were there based on how taxing he was Tuesday night and his history of his knees.
Right.
Sure.
So it's not even for me. It's this guy, the chances, the percentages of Stolarz getting hurt last night were a lot higher than Wall.
Mm-hmm. See, I think that's just so easy to say now. Because
of course.
It's the easiest thing in the world to say now, Kip. Like, if he had started Saturday and he got hurt, would you be saying the same thing? Like, it could have happened in any game.
I just felt...
The guy had the best game of his life, and the coach rewarded it for him. So what? Like, it's pro sports.
But that's not...
But managing these guys is part of why they're cheating.
Like, you're talking as if there's no knee issues or there's nothing.
I know
just having them even, and you can never do that. You can't do that.
The guy earned a start. That's what happens in professional sports. You play well, you earn a start. He thought he'd give him the best chance to win. He's available. The coach says, hey, which guy's playing better? The guy that had the best save.
If it was Tuesday night to maybe Friday night or Tuesday
or
to Saturday, I'm with you. From Tuesday, 48 hours later, to put that guy in 48 hours later off that workload, surprised me. And it surprised you too.
It did surprise me.
It wasn't based on just another start. That was a very tough night for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's impossible for me to sit here and say that, like, you guys are wrong, because would you know? But like, I'm not even saying
that's why he got hurt.
I could never sit here and say that it was the wrong decision to start Anthony Stolarz last night.
Well,
that, like, I will never sit here and say that the guy who, like, we said, good, play good, go in, play bad.
But I'm not that guy.
But the coach is. Yeah. The coach is that old school type of guy.
Right.
He watched his guy give him a absolutely amazing start that won them the game, and he went back to him.
And the point I made is
that
exposes you to critique when it goes wrong. Yeah. And it went as wrong as it possibly could go.
But we're still talking about a guy that's never played more than, 40 games in his career?
27 is a career high.
That's Wall.
We are
talking about a guy that's never played at the level he's playing right now.
The reason he's $2.5 million and not $10.5 million is that he's never done the starter's workload. And so once he's done that, if he continues to be the best goalie in the league as he has been the last couple of years, you go, okay.
Yeah. And I'm the first one to say, Kipper, hindsight's 20/20, right?
It's
easy.
For sure. It is.
Look in the rearview mirror. But we are factoring all these things in.
Like, I'm way more worried about Joseph Woll's health than I am of Anthony Stolarz's health.
Yeah.
So you start Joseph Woll in that game, it's maybe more likely that he gets hurt in that game. So, I think he needs more time off than Stolarz does.
So now we have a story. Because you feel like Woll is the risky one.
For sure.
To put in.
Yeah.
Stolarz has
Stolarz.
Now Stolarz has demonstrated that it's at least a concern now.
Multiple knee injuries. On a
non-play he got.
That he thought his career may have been over, that he would never get himself healthy again. We are talking about a very long list of knee issues the man has had to get to this point.
So whether it's Woll or whether it's Stolarz that's more concerning, the Leafs have two of these guys, and they're the best goalies in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're first and fourth in save percentage in the NHL. And so this is a very unique conundrum where it's like, we have amazing goalies, but who can we play?
And who can we get over the finish line?
And who's going to be left to go to battle?
What was the number one talking point about these guys
at
the start of the year?
Yes.
We've completely papered over it because of how incredibly they
played. I don't think we papered over it.
At the start of this season, when we were doing our preseason shows, we talked about these guys have the potential to be great, but we kind of stopped talking about it since Woll's been back.
Yeah.
And you're kind of just cruising along. And then one of these guys getting hurt on a wrister is like a cold glass of water thrown in your face. Exactly. You're like, oh, my God.
That's exactly it.
But we're not going to sit here, too, and be the
when they're going well and be going, like, yeah,
hey, just wait till they get hurt. Oh, yeah, Sammy, enjoy while you can. That guy's going to get hurt. We're not going to do that either.
I'm
fine with not criticizing Stolarz going in. I'm fine with that.
I thought it's a nice move by a coach for the guy that carried him throughout the early part of the season. He had a great start and he earned it. And he's going to have to make a career high in saves. Starts anyway. So what's one extra?
But I think it exposes they don't have that luxury. They don't have that luxury of going into it mindless, best guys in. Like, they have to do real management the rest of the way.
Yeah. And if you were a little relaxed like we've been and the fan base have probably been in.
It's a wake-up call.
It's a wake-up call to say, you guys better be perfect on when these guys need a rest and when they don't.
Well, and I think what's really important here is that you're going to get Dennis Hill to be a game this weekend, presumably. And I think you are very likely, between the two goalies we're talking about, to have Hildeby as your backup in playoffs now. And are you comfortable with that? Because if one of the two of them, between the two of them, it's likely you're going to have an injury at some point. Hildeby is, I think there's a 30% chance Hildeby plays playoff games.
Oh.
And so do you not want him in now to have this problem now?
Mm-hmm.
Get him into games. Get him feeling comfortable at the NHL level, seeing these shots, getting him a part of it if you think he's the third best option.
Can't agree with you more that, he's in the wheelhouse.
I mean, Akhtemov is having a great year, but it's his first year in North America, and they want to develop him. They want him playing.
I see them trying to protect him.
Him. And Matt Murray got hurt last game. I'm not sure if
Fourth on the depth chart.
Akhtemov is, I think the same age as Hildeby. And he's got an 8-0-1 record, a 1.84 and a 9.29.
But I guess he's just way more green. Like, he just hasn't had. He played very limited games last year somewhere. He's never.
I'm not saying that they call him up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that,
they're comparable.
And he's having a way better season.
Yeah.
Akhtemov.
Yeah.
But they probably want
him. But I feel like you're also saying that he is a bit of a chip for them, right? Like a potential.
I don't see them trading him.
No.
But I think the Leafs will continue to get calls on their depth in net.
Well, they may be less interested in picking up that phone now.
To your point that I wouldn't have anybody as an untouchable if I get an offer I can't refuse. Like, again, I'm trying to I'm trying to win a cup that we haven't seen here since 67.
Yeah.
So
the good news is Joseph Woll is awesome. And you do have Joseph Woll. He's been tremendous this year, 921. Yep. He was great last night.
He's...
And now you're you know, you thought you were worried about every shot going in before, like towards him.
Yeah.
Now it's like every time you watch a game with Joseph Last Ball in that, you're like, just, oh my God.
Another game.
And like, hey, I love Friege. I love Gals. I love Cuthbert on the broadcast. Just chill with the e-bug talk. Oh my God. They're like, the e-bug. Let's do a vignette on the e-bug. I'm like, holy, like, I already cursed them enough. Just
why are you showing me this?
E-bug talk. Good Lord. It's like, Wall is super durable. He's never been hurt ever. But like, let's definitely talk about the e-bug some more.
God. They're jinxing for it.
I think they want to see another one.
I'm a broken man. Like, I'm a broken man. Clearly. I can't have another e-bug in there. This time for the Leafs.
Well, let's listen to some coach clips. We got Berube on Wool and Hildeby. Who'd you like to go with first?
The clip about Wool in relief is good. All right, let's do a clip four.
Well, it's important. I thought Wolsey did a real good job coming in. That's never easy. He made a couple big saves for us, one in the third, and later on in the third, he made a real good save. So he did a good job coming in, and yeah, it's important. And we're fortunate to have two guys that have played extremely well this year.
I would have gone Waller, but
extremely
Waller?
Yeah, Waller.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's really good that they have Wall because, you know, he was
very good last night. Actually, there were some breakaways on him, and
another 2-on-1s. Another hockey game where we said if they had someone else,
Ilya,
named Samsonov in the net,
poor guy.
He was like a 900 or something.
That's a loss.
Yeah,
that's a game. Previous years they would have once again found a way to lose.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. He was very good, and it was. You know, did we do the pack on Riley? Yeah, we did. The pinches at the end of the first period.
That's the first time for me where I saw signs of old Leafs.
And someone else over here was text us that the 44-95 pairing didn't make you feel very comfortable.
I would say that we have reached or the sort of point of the Leafs season, the annual time where the heat is rising on Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
Where the fan base is, I would say that he is the whipping boy at the moment. People have him in the crosshairs. It hasn't looked great. Him and Oliver Ekman-Larsson, whatever the opposite of chemistry is, that's what they have. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't look good together, and people are on Riley.
You know, the core four has always taken a lot of the heat for not rising. Or, you know, when they play a bad team, they don't perform particularly well. But Riley looked maybe not as bared down at times last night, and the scary part is the rushes against, the misreads on pinches and stuff. I thought he had good offensive plays in the first little bit, and it's like he thought it was going to be a runaway. It was 2-0. He started sniffing around, and all of a sudden that ends up being a much closer hockey game than we had hoped. Mm-hmm. Going into it, we kind of thought that might be a bit of a Leafs route, and they played fine. They're the better team.
Yeah,
they deserve to win. Mm-hmm. But, you know, certainly could have gone the other way.
He had a helper last night, but the points aren't coming. Probably is, you know, if he ends up with 40 points, is that a disappointment for you?
For sure. I think, you know, he's paid handsomely, and I think his...
Doesn't help that he's off the power play.
No, for sure. And I think, well, if you saw it today at practice...
Oh, is he back?
Yes, sir. The Riley, Marner, Nylander, Matthews, Tavares is back together. If it didn't work 100 times, let's try it one more time. Maybe listen.
Nye's got the boot.
Yeah, Nye's been back down to the second.
Maybe he's pressing for a little bit more offense.
Out of Riley?
But
or just get the power play better.
If you get caught, it's the only reason why you're up, right?
Yeah.
Just to help create and support and maybe get on the score sheet. Maybe that's what we saw a little bit last night from him.
Take Matthews off that unit. Killing it.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube. Did we do an overview of the game yet?
We did. I think we did. Didn't we? I can't remember.
No, I don't think we did.
No,
okay, we did
we
not.
Did.
We did not. Sorry, I was yelling about.
No, we went Kolar's. We went goaltending.
Yeah,
good early.
Pretty good game. You know, really good third, I thought, you know, with the lead. Well, gave up one chance in a third. But, you know, we had lots of opportunities to score. We didn't put in the net enough. But, you know, I thought our game was pretty good.
I agree with him. In the third, and they've been good this way, shutting down and getting great goaltending.
Best team in the NHL when leading or when scoring first. I think they're 12-1.
Yeah.
They do well with the lead.
Overall, kind of stop and start kind of plays and sustaining. I didn't think they got out of 2 days ago. He was talking about cleaner outs instead of his own zone. I didn't see too many.
No, we were trying to stay positive on the broadcast, so we didn't show the couldn't make a damn pass pack that we were building.
But to beat it to a square in the offensive zone.
Well, pass. I just, you know, I did.
I thought Anaheim moved the puck better than the Leafs last night.
I did the Ducks game back-to-back nights, Wednesday, Thursday, and Ottawa made them look silly in the O-zone, running the play up high, Stützle taking it up there and, you know, zipping it about. And the Leafs definitely looked like the beef stew sort of team. You know, they're just chunk it in, hope for the bounces, patches, tips a couple in. Mm-hmm. They survive. It's a playoff-style win.
Yeah, they kind of look the same against every team.
Yeah, that's true, which I think is okay.
Regardless of, like, really good or really bad, they're just kind of in a close game in the third period, and they kind of win.
They just keep...
the most thrilling brand of hockey.
I actually think they've been playing some of their worst hockey of the season at a time their schedule has been softest, which has been really nice. They've played...
But they would have blown leads to lesser teams.
Yeah, but fortunately, while they're playing lesser teams, Chicago, Nashville, Anaheim... who'd they beat before Anaheim the other night? Someone else not great. God, my brain. Earlier this week? No one else? Whatever.
It's before Jersey.
They beat Jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Jersey. Jersey's good. Never
and they
mind.
Got absolutely caved in by them and got saved by by Stolarz.
But, you know, Chicago and Nashville. So, yes, the point is I think that their poor play has coincided with a soft schedule. They're getting wins. They need to figure it out because the schedule won't be soft forever. Although this weekend is pretty soft again.
Want
to go to break?
No, we can talk about... We could talk about patches for a little bit here before we go to break.
Okay, and then we'll do game.
Yeah, we'll do it after. It's fine.
All right. Max Pacioretty. Before the game, we were talking about the Leafs and the inability, not just this season, but probably in the last five, where so much focus is on secondary scoring, third and fourth lines not producing, but overall just how tough it's been over them. Getting production out of the left side. Now they've got Matthew Nyes, and it looks like Matthew Nyes should be on the pace that he's at, probably around 40, 45 points, which, if you ask me, a guy that's played 109 games in his NHL career. Yeah.
And 27 of those might be goals, too. You know, and like he's
22 years old. It's not bad.
No.
But is it bad when you're trying to win a Stanley Cup on a contending team and you're it? And outside of Matthew Nyes, there hasn't been much over the last little while. And then now Max Pacioretty comes along, going in last night, just 2 goals, I think.
Yep.
Now provided 3 points last night, including 2 goals. And, I don't know, newfound money here?
Yeah, I mean... He's a lot like Stolarz and Wohl for me.
Big time.
You know?
I was just going to say the exact same.
Where it's like, I worry if you're going to go, they rolled them out 18-plus minutes last night. They're going to play X amount of times before Christmas. Can he do it that much? Because he does look good. Like, he, you know, gritty, hits, can shoot it in the net, has some offensive sense, tons to like. Can he do it? Over and over and over. Without snapping like dry rubber bands.
Just listen to this clip from Pacioretty himself on his role from last night, which he's a really good talker, and I found this clip
smart guy
very interesting. So Pacioretty, clip one, please, on his role.
I got to make sure that I balance everything in terms of being hard to play against and playing straight lines, and I can't get away from that no matter what the outcome is. So started to feel that fade a little bit, but in the third got back to that, and... you know, I think that's definitely where I'm helping out the line and the team the most. But I definitely, you know, there are areas where I can maybe get lost a little bit and try and get a shot off.
It's interesting because if you're Pacioretty, like, he knows how he can play offensively. He knows he can still shoot it. Like, it takes some real humility to just become this hitter guy. But I'm sure in his mind, he's like... Yeah. Are we sure I'm worse than Tavares? You know, like, you guys give me his opportunities and see if my stats are much different.
Like those two guys together.
Yeah, me too.
And with Willie, with them, it really feels like a good mix.
Well, those two guys are similar for me. Whereas once you get them in that area of 6 to 8 feet on a radius around the net, they're good. And
good below the dots too. They can win battles on the boards and stuff.
Strong sticks and compete for loose pucks.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is if you're not around that 6 foot radius,
yes,
or in their certain wheelhouse,
mm-hmm,
they can kind of get lost too.
They both have great beard density.
Oh, they do.
Which is really
good. They both would have full beards when they shave in the morning.
Yeah.
But
no, I totally see what you mean. Willie is a nice, like, change of pace on that line.
Yeah.
And, you know, ends
I
up.
I thought
with
Willie was good last night.
Breakaways galore. I don't know how many shots he ended with, but he had 5, 6, 7, 8 at least.
Wow. I mean, that's when Willie's.
When he's going, he's going, right?
The cheatingness.
Yeah.
Right?
He had the cheat dial revved up.
Yeah.
Quickly before we go to break, I got a little 50-50 read for you here, boys. Okay. It's a SportsNet 590 fans, 50-50 fortune supporting Food for Kids. And we are now in the home stretch. So make sure you've entered for your chance to win while making a huge difference. Here's what you need to know. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and the more you can win. The current take-home prize is, care to guess?
$600,000.
It is over $720,000.
Wow.
Someone is going to win that huge jackpot this coming Thursday morning. Let's get that number as high as possible. For more details, to buy tickets, go to foodforkids5050.ca or text the word cash to 590-590. And we'll send the link right to your phone. It's the 50-50 fortune supporting Food for Kids. Standard message and data rates apply. Ontario only.
Kip, if you won 700, would you notice? Like, if I just put 700 in your various accounts, would you notice? Do you think if you check your statement?
Yeah. I would. That's a lot of golf.
That's immediately, I'm like, what course am I joining?
Yeah, right.
A few green fees at Rosedale.
That would cover a couple.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we return, more on the Toronto Maple Leafs, including who's getting healthy. More of Real Kipper and Bourne after the break.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's the Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. You getting much of a response over your jinxing?
Yes.
Anthony Stolarz?
Yeah, friend of the show, Josiah Bosch. Just sent me a screenshot of me with my hand in my hands.
Yeah.
And below it on the screen, on the ticker, is the Anthony Stolarz news. So pretty perfect. Anyways, game time. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So the Leafs have a couple games this weekend that you'd think that they should probably get a couple wins. But we'll focus on tomorrow night in Detroit, which your boy will be in person for.
You really hit the I in Detroit.
Detroit? Right? Like, yeah, I can't say it.
Like a Canadian.
I also Detroit.
Detroit. So I will be.
And Elliot does that too.
It's the I, yeah.
He hits the I.
It's very Canadian, I think.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are -180 road favorites in that game. Looks like they, you know, it's going to be Husso tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Red Wings just came off a brutal loss to the Philadelphia Flyers. And I saw someone say that they're off for 4 days after that game. If they lose in bad fashion to them,
don't
they'll
you
alone.
Always recall, like, a ton of goals?
Yes.
Just always a ton of goals.
Marner scored. They won 10-7 there once. Marner scored. Didn't he have, like, 6 points? Didn't he score 4?
There's always. And then Buffalo, there's always a ton of goals, too.
And
Patrick Kane, 3 goals in 24 games for Detroit.
And this this game time is just another opportunity for me to brag. And then on Sunday night, I will be at Ford Field to watch the Buffalo Bills take on the Detroit Lions. And the Detroit Lions in that game are -140 favorites over the Buffalo Bills. They are 2.5-point favorites on the spread. And that was game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app place to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
So where did you get your Bills tickets?
I don't know. My buddy bought them.
How much?
I have no idea. A lot. Like, I mean,
your buddy buys them.
Yeah, so like there's
and
like a
you can't at any point go,
there's
how
a
much am I paying for this?
He, to his credit.
Are you that rich?
To his credit, my good buddy Keegan, he gave us all a total for hotel, tickets to the Leafs game, tickets to the Buffalo game. And he said, here you go. This is the total. And we all paid it and away we go.
What a great group.
Yeah. Well, share with the
no,
class.
No,
What's your total?
But my mom listens to the show. I'm not telling you that. Are you nuts? She'll kill me.
That's such a good answer. See, I don't
nuts?
Need to answer for this multiple
like, I'm
times.
Going home for
I already had to answer
I'm
to Allie.
I'm going home for Christmas for 3 days, and she'd be like, you spent how am I? I'm like, no, I'm not telling you. Not telling you.
How much did you spend on her present?
On my mom?
Yeah.
What percentage of what you're spending on this trip did you spend on her present for Christmas?
Anyways, so got some tweets here, boys.
Asking.
Did you spend a Gino on the Bills?
No. South. South of that.
Okay.
Not by much, but south.
Canadian?
Yeah.
Good question.
It was Canadian. Okay. Last one. I'll tell you in the break. So do you want to do some tweets? I don't even know if you saw me do this today, Kipper, but I sent a little mailbag question for our Leaf fans to do on our Leaf Hour, because I know you love that. So my first one here is from at Max Domi Enjoyer. I don't know if that's Kipper's burner, maybe. Which prospects picks should we be willing to trade away for a solid 3C along the lines of a Brock Nelson type guy? Assuming the investment upside of creating a better line for Domi to excel on if he's not getting top 6 minutes, feels like we might have to give up a lot for that.
Well, I would believe that if you're Lou Lamoriello and you want to give up Brock Nelson, who's still very good and he's a good goal scorer, and I see him as a legit top six guy. I don't see him as, but you can, you would have that flexibility to move him out or in with maybe a John Tavares on some nights. You want to move him to the wing but he's that good. But to me, the only names you'd be asking for you're not looking for a goalie right now, are you? If you're the Islanders.
Sorokin's pretty damn solid. Varlamov's very good.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great point.
Right?
Yeah,
so I'm not going there. The home run for me, I'm not getting Cowan. I believe I can ask for him. I would ask for Cowan and settle for Minton on Brock Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the only answer. There's no other answer. Like, what are they going to take? Dewar and Steves? Like, who? Akhtyamov, you just said. They got goalies. We got Books later. Let's ask him about Cowan. I don't know where he's at. Like, I have such a good concept of where Minton is at.
Got absolutely rocked in a game against Oshawa.
But he was fine.
But he's at the camp.
Yeah.
But he's skating alone at the camp, and he's like in a non-contact jersey. He got rocked.
Yeah, he did.
At the camp.
Like the
World Juniors.
Oh, yeah, right.
Gotcha.
So. But outside of that, there's really, to JB's point, is... I mean, you can't window dress me.
Topi and Roni?
Yeah,
you can't go. There's not too many places you'd want to go. I'm giving you a guy to help you win the Stanley Cup.
Brock Nelson's goal totals the past 3 years are 37, 36, 34. He's already got 10 this year. So
That's crease not goals. Third line stuff.
No. And they're crease goals. He stands in the paint and he's big and strong. You know, like
he can play center of the wing.
He plays every game, which helps.
And what's the Leafs pick situation? I don't know how to look that up anymore. Cap wages?
Yeah. The Leafs pick situation is they have,
It's not bad.
Those are full. They're one in the second, one in the third, fifth, sixth, seventh.
And then they're first for 26 and 27 they have.
Yeah.
Minton to me between now and the March deadline is okay. Where are we realistically thinking he's going to be?
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary because he looks like he's going to be an NHL hockey player
who might be a year and a half away from really being an impactful guy.
But you worry that he's going to be impactful in a way that not many guys are, like Cirelli or like a thoughtful two-way conscience. That ceiling is, he's not Anthony Cirelli. I'm not saying he's
Your ears, Craig Berube and Minton. If Minton has to be part of the trade to get Brock Nelson or Kadri or one of these, right. Are we all being serious here?
Yeah, we are.
I'm in.
There's only one.
I really like Minton.
I do too. I'm impressed.
You're lucky if you got three pieces, you know, in your organization that teams want. Mm-hmm. At least for sure, have two. Grubenkin, he would intrigue me if I'm another team willing to deal with the Leafs.
Residual Robertson value?
No.
Better than nothing.
Here's a question from Al Davis 49 on Twitter.
Just win, baby.
Just win. Why does Craig Berube continue to play Ryan Reeves? He doesn't bring a ton to the table.
You know, I don't mind.
And he's
him.
Also not playing.
This is the best. The best I've seen him as a Leaf in this stretch. Without fighting.
That's the thing, though, Kip. Like, you don't have to fight every game, and there's not a guy to fight every game. Okay. But it's almost Christmas break, and he hasn't fought once.
Okay.
It's not even that.
To be fair to him, like, the era of needing to fight just to stay relevant is gone.
I understand.
So that. You tell me between beginning of the season, give me like one or two examples where he needed to fight and he didn't.
No, but
I can't recall.
No, I can't either. But this is, we've talked about the Leafs not being reactionary and being the punch first team, and it doesn't feel like he's a threat. Like he's like people, like he's, I don't know, like he's been fine. I don't have any problem with him as a hockey player.
Yeah.
But like he hasn't been like other teams. No, going, God, Reeves not. Is out here. Like he wants to kill us.
Yeah.
Like he's done his job as
maybe,
a forward.
Maybe don't ask Darnell Nurse about that, but.
Well, that hit is a different, different animal to me than what we're talking about.
Yeah.
By the way, the bottom six of McMahon, Minton, Domi. I like that. Holmberg, Dewar, Lorenz. I also think that's a pretty good fourth line. I like the bottom six like that. I think they would get some more offense out of it.
Yeah, if you just slid old Brock Nelson right in between the Domi and McMahon, it's like, oh boy, that team's looking.
That would change the look.
Team's looking a lot better.
Yeah.
Sorry to sweet, man.
Want to take a quick break and listen to Berube talk about McMahon coming back?
Sure.
Also would just like to say, as a guy who follows the Islanders, I would be probably okay with that arrangement rather than just losing Nelson like a Lightman.
But sorry. You mentioned though that if they were going to trade Nelson, like they'd have to be out of it and him, he'd have to pry a lot. I don't know if is Lou wanting to trade him. Feels like he's more likely to extend him for 8 years than he is to trade
Lou
him.
Is not giving up. They took 2 points last night off of Chicago.
Well, they tried to lose.
Lou will not pack it in.
He's not going to pack it in?
I'm talking about, like, you trade a guy like Brock.
You're packing it in.
You're packing it in.
Oh, I'll just understand.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, Lou will never.
So,
yeah.
I think it's a bad mistake by the organization.
Like, will Lou pack it in?
Resign.
Yeah. You mentioned in your article that he was physically packing it in. He was saying, well, just that you thought.
I think they're leaning towards him.
Doing it on his own.
Doing it on his own. Eventually.
Quick, and I'm so not we saying, don't have to fire you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They miss the playoffs again. Can Lou come back?
No.
In September?
I'm a proclaimed ageist. When it comes to hockey, I am. Yeah.
Speaking of my mom, we
love
ears.
You, Lou. We love you, Lou, but like your team needs something new now.
They haven't changed their identity at all for years, and it's not good enough. We had Rupp on yesterday. He said the worst thing that happened to them was getting to the conference finals. Just, maybe if we tried the same group. What if we tried the same group?
Okay.
It's bad. It's really bad.
This is from CX Peary on Twitter. You guys keep saying this team feels different and is better suited for the playoffs, but what gives you any confidence that they will be able to score more than 2 goals per game this year? Lack of scoring has been their biggest downfall.
I think the type of goals that they're focusing on this year. I also, let me go ahead and get ahead of this.
Okay, get ahead.
I think their elite talents are going to have a year.
Wow.
I think Mitch Marner.
No, a half a year.
No.
Because that's all that's left.
No, I mean playoff in
year.
The playoffs.
Oh, playoffs here. Okay.
Mitch Marner is a elite hockey player, and I think they're going to have a year where it just works. At some point, these guys are good. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there is a case in history where guys as good as Matthews and Marner and Nylander have elite stats in the regular season and never find it in playoffs.
I'm not as confident as you.
You're not?
Not with the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll stand by it feels differently because, again, last night's an example that they find ways to win with these lulls or these moments when it would have caved them in the past and they still find a way to get through. That is there. It's been there since the beginning of September. And I think it'll continue. I am not as convinced that the light switch will go on and all these world-class talented players will click on a 25% power play and everybody's going to fill the net. I think there's something going on there that needs addressing. I
can't necessarily put my finger on it, but between the power play and the lack of production on the left side and needing somebody else in there,
you know,
like a Brock Nelson.
I'm an ageist.
There's something that needs to be done.
You get to these ages and these guys tend to just get that little bit stronger, better, tougher, more experience. And last year, where they come within a goal, Matthews misses two games and he's dealing with something. Nylander's got migraines and he misses a couple games. You got McMahon's not in the lineup. Like, I don't think they have to be that much different to score more than two in a game in the postseason. I think they'll get someone else too for in a trade.
Here's why I know it's going to be different. Because this is the year that Marner is going to absolutely set the world on fire. The Leafs are going to go to the conference finals. And then he is going to walk for $16 million to the Chicago Blackhawks.
How much?
$16 million. Because he's going to get hot, and you're going to be talking about how he's the best when we're doing shows live on location with the Stanley Cup final. You're going to be like, oh, he's got to, I don't know, they got to get him under contract. And it's going to be $16 million. He's going to sign with Chicago.
They'll figure it out. They don't need me.
I'm just telling you. That's what's going to happen. He's going to have his best season ever than the Leaf.
Well, hey, would you not take that?
No, I mean,
would you not take Kawhi Leonard?
If there's silverware, the 10 times out of 10.
Yes.
But without silverware, it's going to suck.
The last thing I'll say about the offense is, and I've kind of harped on this, and I still feel this way, is just their inability to move the puck crisply with everybody together.
You know who doesn't solve that problem?
Brock Nelson.
Brock Nelson. Brock right? Nelson is a... Do it like the other guys.
Yeah.
Shoot it. Be in front.
Yeah.
Like,
but I think
who's a connector? You know, Braden Point?
Again,
God, he's so good.
I think part of the problem is outside of Marner or Willie Nylander, you know, Tavares cannot make plays outside of 6 or 8 feet around the net.
Yeah, he can make good passes around there, right? But outside of that.
But outside that, he's not quarterbacking a power play. You don't want him being set, you know, up at the top of the circles, or you don't want necessarily Matthews either. You want him kind of set up to eventually shoot the puck. But like,
I'm fine with him with it, but I get your point. I get your point.
Just they got to start involving each other better passes. Three, four consecutive passes.
That's crisp, personnel to me.
Crisp passing.
This is the last one because we got to go. Is Brandon, this is from Jimmy 63614. Is Brandon Saad a target for the Leafs for depth scoring?
I don't mind him.
Think it's
that ship sailed on him, right? St. Louis, right?
It's amazing you do the show with him.
No, he's still in his prime. This is commentating prime right here.
Yeah, it's true.
This is, you know, if I needed him to be on my third line, it's different.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
His best years are behind him.
Yeah. I don't need another like Pacioretty, Tavares type where you're like, hopefully you squeeze one more year out of this guy.
What about four-time goal scorer last night in Scott Laughton?
You could talk me into Scott Laughton very easily. Like his contract, $3 million this year and next. Get them to retain a little bit.
Brendan Saad has 4 goals this year. He's making $4.5 million.
Yeah, we're okay on that.
But no, I would be the worst pro scout ever because I saw that clapper on the breakaway.
From Laughton.
I'm like,
get him.
You're good. Get him.
Whatever else he does.
First round pick on the table.
Yeah.
Whatever. Bar down. Clapper.
I don't know if it'll take that
Gord.
Much more than a first rounder.
Yeah, I would hope not.
And Grubenkin.
A first in Grubenkin for
maybe.
Scott Laughton?
Maybe.
I don't like that at
too
all.
Much?
It's a lot.
I think everybody's a little bit too horned up about Grubenkin.
Well, yeah, that's when you got to cash that chip.
He's okay.
A second in Grubenkin.
But he's going to do all those late hits after the game outside the building.
Fan
for,
first network. They're going to be like, what the hell? He's fine.
We need him.
Yeah, he's...
You slandered it. They're,
could be untradeable.
Come in here.
He played 7 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Careful.
Okay. That is one full hour on the Leafs, and we solved nothing.
Not even close.
But we got another hour to try when we go national. Doug McLean on Off the Rails and Jason Bukala to put it all together.
And we're sending Sammy.
And where are we sending you, Sammy?
Don't worry about it. We got to go.
You're not telling me how much you're spending. You're not telling me where you're going, Sammy.
Listen.
I don't like it. Okay? I don't like
it. Make him stay, Dad.
I'm going to the Oshawa General game.
I'm the parent here. More when we return. Real Kipper and Bourne.